Every year during the month of June, the LGBT community celebrates in a number of different ways. Pride Month is an opportunity to raise awareness of current issues facing the community. And across the globe, various events are held during this special month as a way of recognizing the influence that LGBTQ people have had around the world. And this morning we talked to Nikolai Talamahina, who tells us a little bit about his experience with dealing with gender identity.
My name is Nikolai Talamahina. I identify as a whaatanga trans-masculine person living here in Aotearoa and Otipoti. I'm 26. My star sign is Aries, and I'm also a creative artist.
Just talk me through your personal journey with your sexual orientation and gender identity as a Pacifica transgender person.
I think it's quite a big question in terms of journey and to where I am now. It definitely is a hard one. It's a very, very hard journey to partake. And I think in particular, it's hard to do alone. I think as a Pacifica person, these journeys are a lot easier when you have a community or support around you. Just as my own experience, transitioning with the support of my family, I have found it a lot easier than a lot of people that I do know. So I won't go into detail about my exact journey of how where I am today and how I got there, but I know for sure that as a Pacifica person, it's important that I guess we're so, our culture is rooted in being in communities and being around each other and supporting one another. I think that what I'm trying to say is that my journey itself wouldn't really be here if I didn't have the support of my community and my family.
Is there a big community where you transition from being, you know, female to male?
Pacific alone, no, there is not a lot of us. We exist, but there definitely is not a lot of us that are around, which is quite isolating and quite sad, I must say. But we do support each other and we do talk to each other regularly. The realization of, like, that I was not who I wanted to be was quite... I was real young when I realized that. I don't think I knew what transgender was when I was growing up. I knew that... But what I did know was that I wasn't the person that I wanted to be. It wasn't until I was I was a teenager. I think with the help of the internet, I somehow came across it and read more about it and realized that aligned more with who I wanted to identify with. So it wasn't until I was a lot older that I was like, oh, this is something that I can do and have kind of the own kind of acceptance of myself was when I was a lot older. But I've definitely known for a very, very long time.
Because I've known you since you were quite little and, you know, all those youth camps and things like that. You were always such a, you know, you're really out there, outgoing, and you're a force to be reckoned with. You've mentioned your family. And how did you all navigate this, especially in a small community like ours?
To be honest, it's kind of like a touch and go. Like, you just figure it out in real time. I think for me and my journey with my family, it kind of it was real tricky because I feel like my family understood what was going on, but I also didn't really know how to communicate it. And obviously, as a teenager or a young person, you kind of lash out and you just isolate yourself. I think when I started to be really honest with my family, I think that's kind of where the turning point happened for the support. I think to be a young trans Pacifica person in Aotearoa without support is incredibly hard. So I think for me, being able to communicate that it was something that made me like not want to be here, I think it's quite sad, but I think when I was able to communicate that, it got a lot better for me and my family and our relationship together. And I've, you know, I have really amazing family support from my mother, my grandma and my late grandfather. So, yeah, it's quite an emotional one to talk about, but I'm very thankful for it. And I think it's just something that, yeah, I have a lot of love for people that can talk about that with their family openly and not suffer the consequences of being thrown out or isolated from their family or from their community. So, yeah. I mean, like, doing creative stuff and, like, being able to express yourself through your art is really important, and I'm very thankful that that's my outlet for a lot of my young years transitioning. I think that it was quite tricky at the start to have a career in, like, the creative field and transition and, like, you know, lots of things as an artist, as a musician. Things change for you that you don't, you can't do anymore. You can't sing the same. You can't, yeah, it was quite hard at the start, but I think the kind of, like, world that's, like, we're living in right now, as an artist, I feel like I've been welcomed with, like, open arms and, like, been accepted, which, you know, I think is, like, everyone should be accepted for who they are. But it's been, like, a lot lately has been really incredible to see the support around the world for artists like me. But, yeah, definitely not an easy one to start with, and was definitely scared of where my career was going to sit after my voice changed, and was quite nerve-wracking that I almost didn't want to do it. But I'm here now, so it's good.
In terms of the support services, there are support services available, but mm-hmm. actually getting mm-hmm. people to access that, especially Pacifica, what are your thoughts about that?
I mean, I have like a funny, I think for me, I don't want to like shoot it in the foot a little bit, but I've had like quite a hard time with some youth services in the past. I think maybe not being accessible, like living in Auckland, that's where I'm from, the 09 church. I think it's quite hard because some of the services are like in the city, so like those aren't accessible to communities like West Auckland or South Auckland. I know they're trying to change it now and they're getting more people in the outreach of those things, but I think for me personally, I've been seeing the change in youth services for queer youth drastically change in the last 2-3 years. But yeah, I didn't think when I was growing up they were like super, super accessible. Like I said, I've lost most of the information I learned was online. I don't want this to hinder people from getting support, because I know that they will get the support from those services because they are run by really cool people. But yeah, I hope that answers the question. I think for me, if I was like someone who was a lot younger talking to myself, it's honestly just someone to talk to and, you know, message. It's, I know like what I do for a lot of the Pacifica youth that I do know, like what youth that I do know is we just check up on each other. I check up on them. They check up on me. We just like, you know, just we talk like normal people. And we share things with each other. And I'm really fortunate that those youth have actually turned to talk to me and be vulnerable with me. And I'm very appreciative of them letting me be that person. You know, like I'm very, like, I feel very fortunate to be able to have a conversation with those youth. And yeah, I wish that they could get all the support that they wanted and needed, not just from me.
Another thing that I was just thinking about is that, you know, families do want to be supportive, but sometimes they just don't understand what terms to use. Even in this interview, in the back of my mind, I'm going, okay, am I using the right terms for these particular issues? Especially if you haven't been exposed to a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of it, like, even with me and my mum, like, a lot of the conversation is like, you know, it will come up somehow and she'll ask me. And a lot of the time there are identities and things that I don't know. And we usually just do a Google search and we, you know, research about it. But I think like for families, and it can be quite hard. I think the way that we think of how the information is accessible, like I understand what you're saying. A lot of people don't know how to use the terminology or don't have access to the terminology. Are shy. I think it's what people should know is like it's not a bad thing to ask, or it's not it's okay to not know. I think it's good to like try and know, and like, you know, if you can ask somewhere for the information or want to, just to like read it over and learn about it. But it's okay to not know, and it's okay to want to ask for help for those things as well. I feel like that so wholeheartedly that people shouldn't be embarrassed, especially if it's their youth or their children. They shouldn't be embarrassed to seek out help. I think what I would say is just to parents, you know, I think it's really important that we support our youth and we support our children through their decisions and not, I don't want to get too mean on this, but not to blame or to point fingers, you know, I think our youth are just as scared as you are. And I think it's really important that we support each other and keep the dialogue going if we need the help, and make sure that, yeah, you know, we all love our kids, we all love our youth, and make sure that we're all good. So, yeah, I guess that's my only thing to say.
And that was musician, curator, events facilitator, and big energy Aries Nikolai Talamahina, also known as Brown Boy Magic, thanking him for sharing his experience as a transgender male with us here on 531 PI.